I'm John Batchelor, Friends of History Debating Society, as Gaius and Germanicus is here. And quickly, we're going to address two wonderful facts. One, the history of Rome, Romulus, Remus, the rape of the Sabine women. What else have we got? We've got something called the monarchy, Tarquinia, Tanquil, the wonderful story of Lucretia, the good wife. Got all that as history because of a man named Livy, who worked for Augustus. Augustus was keen on his image. 2,000 years later, his image is really good, thanks to Livy, because Livy turned backstabbing Roman intrigue into family life. It was a success. It's still a success. Everything we know about Augustus tells us that he saw the monarchy as a threat. He didn't want to go back to the monarchy. He didn't want to be king because he knew that would make him a target of assassination, which is what happened in the first monarchy. Bloodlust. So he came up with this idea, I'm going to save the Republic. And the way he does that is he brings in Livy and Dionysius of Heliocarnassus. And he said, write me a fairy tale where it comes out well that we Romans are exceptional because we care about the family. Now, Scrivonia was Augustus's first wife. He left her while she was in her birthbed with the baby Julia at her side. He left her because she wasn't convenient anymore. He called her shrewish. He was not a family man. He was cold-blooded, and as emperor, he was keen on making himself not the king. What did he do? He came up with the idea, I will be first among equals in the Republic. I will save the Republic. They'll call me Princeps. I'm the first citizen. And everything I do will be satisfactory because the family is important. Germanicus, I go through all this because it's discouraging to learn in the 21st century, which we can learn because we have those skills, that we have been living an exaggerated truth. And here at the end of the first century, it will be entertaining for some time as we get good emperors. But eventually the emperors will go bad, and we'll be back to the fact that the emperor did not solve the monarchy problem. There is no way to solve the monarchy problem in the Roman Empire. And I'm not at all, I need your thinking on this. Have our inheritors, that would be the British for the British system that the Americans inherited, have our inheritors solved the monarchy problem to your measure?
The Romans solved the problem not with Augustus, but rather through Augustus, in the sense that Augustus was made.
Take a glass of water, Michael. Take a glass of water.
Yeah, unfortunately. Just a second. Augustus was made divine on his death and created the precedent of the Roman emperor as being a temporal being among us, but also representing in some transcendental way the exceptional quality of Rome in the eyes of the gods. And the essence of Roman legitimacy for several centuries after Augustus was vested in the idea that, you know, emperors come and go, but while they're emperor and while they're doing a good job, they represent a divine connection between Rome and the higher world. And so this special status of the emperor, in which the emperor was not so much a person that you acknowledged and gave your loyalty to, it was the complete idea of Rome itself, which is why you would show your fealty to Rome by sacrificing a few leaves, a few olive leaves in a brazier to the god Augustus. And it's powerful as a concept because it isn't exactly a monarchy. In other words, it isn't a dynastic focus on the individual and that person's children. It is it leaves open the idea that the emperor is the representative of Rome in the eyes of God while he's emperor. And after that, he can be discarded. And eventually, the arrival of Christianity made that even more powerful, in the sense that the emperor was still yet more removed from the problems of being a god, and was now merely the representative of God's will on earth.
Does kingship solve this? Do we have a solution to this?
Well, what we've done is create something akin to the emperorship, which is the presidency. And the presidency, as it emerged from Washington, had some of the same qualities of the Roman imperial office. And so presidents who really stood out, like Washington, Jackson, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, and Reagan, all fit that Roman model. The problem with the imperial office today is that it is degraded, and it does not have the universal sense of American commitment and of the connection of the imperial office, the presidency, to the divine. In other words, the God's will that America should go out and redeem the world. And instead, it's become venal and corrupt. And this is a tremendous problem. That's why when Rome decayed several times, it had to experience a renovatio, a kind of renewal and rebirth. Augustus was the first renovatio, for example. And what the U.S. needs now is something very similar. In other words, the reason the U.S. imperial office, like the Roman imperial office, is successful is that the holder of that office isn't the person to whom you give your loyalty. It's the connection of that person to the larger mission.
You think it's possible to renovate our king?
It has to happen, or we'll fall apart. This was true of the Soviet Union, for example, when the leader lost that legitimacy. And it's true generally.
I hear a hesitation when you say it has to happen.
Well, it has to happen if the U.S. is going to continue as the American idea, the counterpart, say, of Romanitas. If the U.S. is going to subside into a kind of warring and internally fractious then it won't.
But then that's what Augustus feared. That's why he didn't want to be king.
Right. And you see, there is this powerful difference between a hereditary monarchy that's vested in the dynastic politics that emerged, say, from the feudal era, and an imperial concept which is not only universalistic, and the U.S. is a universalistic nation, but it's also not about the person himself. It's about the legitimating symbol of the office. And the U.S. has managed to create that, but it hasn't fully matured it. And so at this point, that office is in deep trouble. I mean, it's in trouble that no one seems to know how to address. Right. And this is going to come to a head, I think, this year, and then perhaps years thereafter, depending on how much turmoil, violence, and strife there is.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. I can't tell whether we're gloomy or not. It's springtime. But there's reason to believe that the sleight of hand that our god Augustus pulled off at the beginning of the Roman Empire will be difficult for whoever's going to pull it off for the American Empire, to convince the American people that they are not being ruled by a king. It's challenging. This is Londinium by the Thames. We're off to the sacrifice to the god Augustus, because he did pull it off. And then we're going to go to a quick pantomime about Medea of the Palatine. Remember when she revenges herself against her husband, Jason, because he's run off with another woman? Well, we'll have that drama again from the point of view of Medea as the heroine. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor.